You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hi, welcome to Scam Wow. I'm Caitlin Brodnick. I'm your host, and we all love scams. Guys, we love scams. We love you. It's so exciting to be in here. I am thrilled and honored to be your host. Today, we have an amazing episode. We have Fume Abe, who's super hysterical. He is a comedian. He's a writer. He writes for The Late Late Show with James Corden, and he just did his TV debut on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He is so funny. You'll know him from the Asian Not Asian podcast, and I am a humongous fan of this podcast, guys. It's linked in our show notes. You have to check it out. And trigger warning, we talk about all kinds of stuff today. We talk about kidnapping. We talk about possible, like, sad, maybe stripper prostitution things. I mean, it goes everywhere, but most importantly, we suddenly discover and come to terms with all of the times that he and I have been scammed in our lives. And it isn't exactly linear, but it is a conversation that gets incredibly honest. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our Patreon patrons. Guys, if you want, you can follow us on Patreon at ScamWow Podcast. And I have the beginning of my interview with Fumi. It's so fun and great, but I couldn't fit it all in today's episode. So that is on Patreon if you want to check us out there. It is super easy. And I want to say thank you, Nat, for being our new Patreon patron. And I will tell you all about my dress scam that I figured out how to succeed. Guys, basically the secret is PayPal. If you pay through PayPal, you can find a way to be protected. And that's all in this new Patreon episode. And also, guys, if you have a chance, I'd love for you to rate and review us online. We've had some incredibly mean comments. Someone called me trash. And so if you could take some time, if you're a fan of this podcast and if you don't think I'm trash, if you could rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, it would make a huge difference for us. It's a little bit of your time, but it is a big difference for our jump in ratings and for other people who like scams or actually just like silly people making comments about scams to find us. So if you also have any scams, you can call us on our hot tip hotline, because you know I love a phone call, which is 347-509-9414. Email us at scamwowpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on social. And I hope you enjoy this episode. It gets super personal real quick. Enjoy. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for doing this, because I am such a huge fan of Asian Not Asian podcast.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you had Randall Park on, and you had Michael Caine, who I used to babysit for, and I love SJ. Like,
what?
Oh, and like I love Natasha. Kids. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Not him.
Not him.
No, I'm a huge fan
awesome.
Of the podcast. And I know you, of course, you guys are doing so well. You don't need any more help, but I want all of our listeners to like tune into your podcast as well because it's so enjoyable.
Thank you. Yeah. I was, you know, researching your podcast as well. Looks like, because there's so many comedians who have podcasts that like, nobody listens to. So it's
no,
not that.
Well,
so.
Our friends don't listen to it. Our friends don't listen to
No,
it.
But that's good. Our friend, like, are we, like, we want regular listeners. You know, we don't want open micers listening
yeah,
to us.
Yeah, no, we don't need our friends. They have plenty of opinions.
No.
Exactly. I did a couple shows at QED together.
I think so, yeah.
At Brutally Honest when I had that show with Mae Wilkerson.
Oh my God. She lives here now,
yeah,
right? She lives in
she
LA,
does.
I think.
Okay. This is the week, guys. We are talking about how we, as human beings who are pretty okay street smarts, we're not like, you know, cult members right now. We have ourselves gotten scammed. And guys, I think I've had a week of loneliness and that brought me to an incredible amount of scams.
I will start with like a lighter one.
Sure.
And this is like a... This is like a classic New York scam, which I didn't really know about and I didn't really experience it myself until maybe like 2019. Mm-hmm. I've been living in New York since 2012. So I truly felt like a New Yorker when this happened.
Yeah.
And I was able to get out of it.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I could have gotten out of it if I was new to New York.
Brand new, yeah.
I don't know if this ever happened to you, but basically I used to live in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. I was walking towards the subway. I see this man. Actually, I don't even see him. I guess this guy was walking towards my direction, holding two bags of what apparently were liquor bottles.
Okay.
And he bumped into me. I was also walking kind of fast. He bumped into me. I had my headphones on. I bump into people all the time in New York City. I was just like, sorry, man. Kept walking. What happened is when I bumped into him, he dropped his bag and... pretended to all the liquor bottles had shattered, right? And he blamed it on me. So he's standing there making a huge scene, like he's cursing at me. But I have my headphones on, so I like legit did not hear him, and
I just
walked all the way to the subway. He chased me. He's like, "Brother, what's going on, man?" He's like, "You just bumped into me," and I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't see. I wasn't looking at where I was going." And he's like, "Yeah, I dropped my stuff though, man. Come check it out." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." I go there, and he's like, "Oh no, it's completely acting." He's like,
yeah.
"Oh no, look what happened." And there's like a bottle of Jack in there. You know, tequila, like all kinds of expensive alcohol. And it's just like shattered, right? But
right.
Like clearly, like he found this somewhere.
It's been
on the
shattered,
street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been shattered. And he was like, "I got the receipt right here." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And he's like, "Yeah, that's gonna be like $80, man." Which like it that's
wow.
not like it would have been more, I think. You know what I mean? Like
he was lowballing to see if you keep talking to him, probably.
Exactly. So I was standing there. And I think a lot of times when you're being scammed, you like deep down know you're being scammed.
Yes.
But it's sometimes when somebody asks you to do something, you just kind of do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you fall into this like trance almost. It's like a mind game. And so I'm sitting there like, I know this is a scam, but I'm looking around. He has made a scene. So everybody's kind of looking at me. This is also a neighborhood of, you know, predominantly Black and Caribbean people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't want to like, if I did legitimately break somebody's thing, I'm happy to.
Right. You don't
want to
create
them for
a disturbance.
It. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, like, is this on like Twitter right now?
Yeah,
like, you know what
course.
I mean? Like, am I about to get canceled?
Yeah. That's a genuine feeling.
100%. And I also like. I'd never heard of this scam, you know,
okay.
Even though if you Google this, it like there's so many things that pop up.
Is it? I haven't either. I mean, I probably would have figured it out, but no, I haven't heard of this before.
I guess this is more common around like Times Square.
Okay.
But anyway, so something happened in me where I was just like, no, I'm not falling for it. So I just said, fuck you, man. I just left.
That's
and
great.
I just walked away. And I just prayed to God he didn't chase me
and
I didn't get into like
up.
A physical altercation. But like he didn't chase me or anything like that.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. But that I feel like had that happened 2-3 years before that, I would have fallen for it 100%. Like I would have been like, can I give you Venmo? Or he would have been like, he would have followed me to the bank or something.
Oh my God, you're reminding me of when I almost got kidnapped. I'm
What's
sorry.
That? By the way, Kayla, that is not a scam. That is straight up crime.
I know, but
a lot of these things you're mentioning, you should report to the police. These are not like, ooh, like a fun New York scam. No, like your
I'm
life
sorry,
is at danger.
It's not funny. It's not funny, but it's now looking back at it, it was when I was new to New York City. I graduated from college. I just wanted to live in New York. I wanted to live with my boyfriend. And I was visiting a great aunt whose kids I was going to babysit for. And the person probably would have kidnapped me, but I think there was a bigger scam that he wanted to first get money from me. I was walking in Penn Station, and this is dark and it is terrifying, but a PSA for anybody. I was walking in Penn Station, probably staring at everything. Like when you're a tourist, you stare at everything. You try not to and you try to look cool. But if you are a local, whatever city you're from, you're used to seeing a tourist like kind of look up at something and then like sneak their head down. It's like when guys like pretend they're not looking at you and they're I was just looking at that gutter over there. Like, you're not looking at a gutter. You're checking my ass. It's fine. Like, just admit it. You know, I told my husband once, he was like, you guys know we do that? I was like, yes, of course we do.
You guys know we're not into gutters?
Yeah. You know, I don't care about that weird parrot. I'm like, no. And there was no parrot. Like, what are you talking about? But no, when we first dated, it cracked me up. But so I was looking around, and somebody ran up to me and said, can you help me? My son is in the hospital in Israel. So they're obviously like, there's a Jew. And he was like, my son's in the hospital in Israel and he needs this medicine. He can't get it here. And the guy came up so flustered and nervous. And I thought it was shady, but he kept saying stuff about Israel and Judaism. And my bubby had just died. And my bubby was like the closest person in the world to me. She's my number one. And we were two peas in a pod, and it like at the cost of everyone else. It would be like Katie and bubby are together. Like you guys aren't really existing without them. So I had this like nervous feeling, which I think is also a scam of like, she's trying to talk to me from the great beyond, which I think, you know, I was just so nervous. I thought somebody, if she was, I don't think she would have sent like a hysteric middle-aged man in like, you know, tight-fitting pants to talk to me about his son in Israel. Yeah. So he was said to me, you know, why don't you come with me. I have a payphone. I need to send him some money. It's just a little bit of money, but I don't. And I was so upset and so flustered. And he kept saying, like, you have to come with me. Come. And I was like, can I talk to you in the station? He was like, no, out of Penn Station. We have to get out of the station together, up this escalator. And I felt like so scared. And I started to step like on the beginning of the escalator, really like, oh my God, this person's son is dying. Like, very worked up. I think I was I was still in college. I think it was like 18 or 19. And this mom and a baby stroller goes, ma'am, are you okay, to me? And it like bursts me out of it. I was like, this woman sees that this is shady. A stranger is flustering me. I'm too young. Like, I have many suitcases. I'm by myself. And at that moment, I like stopped and I was like, and I said to him, leave me alone. I am not. Get away from me. And he went, okay, okay, okay. And ran away, like sprinted. And the woman, and I think I started crying. I don't know. But the woman was like, are you okay? And she was just this blonde woman with a little boy with their own luggage. And she just looked at me like, something's not right. That was real shady.
What was, like, do you know what this, like, was he trying to kidnap you? Did you have valuables, or do you want your suitcases? Like,
I think it felt like a kidnapping. Guys, this is so dark. I'm like, welcome one of my favorite comedians, who's a joy. Let me talk about my almost kidnapping. I think it was kidnapping, but also that maybe if they didn't get to the kidnapping stage, he would have had me like give my credit card number or call my parents and give their credit card number. So I think it was more of like a money thing. Now that I know more about scams, he kept talking about money for his son's medicine in Israel. So now that I know, a person doesn't... Oh, my husband's texting me. You're screaming. Okay. I'll try. It's not every day you talk about kidnapping. So...
I love that somebody's telling you to shut up on your own podcast. It's really
no. We
just...
have my son's in the next room, who I just woke up, and it's not great. Okay. So now, looking back at it, I realize that what he was frantic about was money for his son. So it wasn't that his son was in the van and could I help his son. It was that he had to get money to his son. So now, looking back, the fact that he targeted me, a young woman, by myself, that another woman had her spidey sense with her son and looked at me like, girl, I don't think this is safe. And that he ran away, like the speed at which he ran away spelled out pervert, you know. And then I called my whole family and I was like, God, guys, I think that, like, a lot of things, a lot of creepy things happened to me when I was a young girl because I knew that there were a lot of mean people in the world. I didn't want to be a mean person, but I was also like a blonde haired girl with big boobs. Like, I also probably looked really easy. You know, like, I probably like, this slut, she's fun, but I was just trying to be nice.
Wow.
So,
right.
So now looking back at that, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I have an emergency, my son's in a hospital, they should probably go find like an adult. Probably, or like a lawyer, or like somebody.
Yes.
Not a young person.
This reminds me, speaking of old people scams, this is an international scam for you. I don't know if you guys do international scams.
Yes, of
but
course.
This was a huge problem in Japan for a while. I think this sort of, you know how scams, like, once it makes the news and people know it's a thing, people stop doing it.
They fizzle out a little. Yeah.
Right. This is probably like mid-2000s, maybe late-2000s. It was called the It's Me scam. And basically, random people would call old people. Like, they would look up old people on the phone book in Japan and pretend to be like their grandson or something. They'd be like, hey, it's me. And they'll be like, oh, are you? And then they insert name, whatever. And they're like, yeah, that's me. And they're like, I just got in a car accident. I don't have money to pay for it. Can you wire some money onto this? And old people, a lot of old people would do that.
They did. Because my grandmother said that somebody called her. I just was talking to her about it. And she said that somebody did that for her.
That's crazy.
No, she was just like, my kids know how to ask me for money. Like, it was so funny. Like, they do, like, are very sweet. And they give us, like, birthday card, you know, money and stuff like that. Yeah, so she was just like, nah, I'd hear from their parent. You know, I'd hear from another person besides them. They wouldn't call me directly because we don't have.
Sure.
We're too embarrassed to ask her directly. But we really appreciate Christmas envelopes.
That's really funny. Do you feel like with scams? Okay, so like, I think the first couple of examples we gave are like, we were just being innocent.
Yes,
and a scam came to us. Have you ever experienced something where like you wanted something?
Yes.
You know, and you got scammed. Like, I don't know, something as simple as like, you wanted to go to a concert and you wanted to get tickets a certain way and you did it this weird way and you got scammed. Or like, you know, because I feel sometimes when you have a goal, that's when you're like more blind to these like spidey senses, I think.
Yes.
And that can get really dangerous.
I just had that to myself. I just said it to myself. So
you just had.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a alcoholic, former alcoholic. I'm sober. And I am somebody who my mom calls an excitable girl. Like, I can get very excited for things and kind of like jump into it with all the fun. And it turns out that like auctions are catnip for me. Like, the idea of
auctions.
Competing with somebody, because I'm very competitive, money, like getting a present at the end of it. And then this addictive personality side that I have, like an auction to me is deadly. Like, I suddenly the person is my enemy and I'm gonna fucking get that piece of cake that we're auctioning for. It was like Princess Diana's cake or whatever it is.
Wow.
So I did this to myself, Fumi. Goodwill.com, and shout out to Goodwill.com. So the incredible prices that are at Goodwill and like Salvation Army, Goodwill.com has an online auction 24 hours a day. So all these different Goodwills all over the country. So Georgia, you have Oregon, you have Texas, will put up their stuff that they're trying to sell online. They have a starting bid and then you have 10 to 12 days to bid on it.
Okay.
Sometimes three days. And so you'll go on, you'll just look at auctions, and some of it is incredible. Some of it is like box of costume jewelry, and you could find real turquoise in there or real gold, like things kind of mashed together, or a collection of Coach purses, like things that actually are pretty valuable that either the Goodwill themselves don't have the time or care to, or it's Goodwill, so they're not going to, it's going to a charity, so they're not trying to make tons of money like an eBay seller would. So I saw some of these paintings and I thought, oh my God, I can resell this. First of all, I wanted a beautiful painting for my house because I love old timey paintings and I don't believe in spending full price for paintings because the artist is dead. It's a whole thing. I have like this whole opinion about art. The artist is dead. Who cares? Why are you making me spend so much money? So I was trying to get a deal on an auction painting. So I started going, if you put in a bid for Goodwill, like let's say, so there, for example, there's a painting and it's $20, somebody bid. If you put in $21, if that person has already you can bid as much as you want on a painting. So that person probably already bid $40. So they have that painting on lock till $40. So if I bid 21, they'll automatically go to 22. And then if I bid 23, so they'll automatically go up until they hit 40. And then that person will have to mechanically, you know, put it in themselves. So you, it's a way you can kind of walk away from your computer and bid your highest.
Wait, when you say they, you mean somebody else, or you, you mean the program will just up it by one?
The program will up it by one. They, the person bidding, can put in their highest bid. So let's say their highest bid is they think this painting's really worth $65, or they've Googled it and they'll resell it, or there's somebody who's just a fan of this funky flower. They'll say, it's only worth $45 to me because I'll pay some shipping and I don't want to pay more than that on a painting. So they can leave their computer, and then this, the computer system of Goodwill will automatically keep one-upping you until it gets to that threshold. It's a nice system. They're not going to charge you at 40. It's not like when you go into eBay and you just throw in your dollar, they'll take you at that and then keep going higher. So I didn't realize this at first. And it's at $20, and I put in for a painting. And this painting, I swear to God, took my breath away. It was incredible. I thought it was so beautiful. I thought it was so special. I was like, this is incredible. And also, I want it in my house and I could resell it. Like, so many exciting things. I had the fuel and fire of like a thousand suns. And this was the week of the Bachelorette week where I'm already like feeling it. And I'm like, I'm going to get back my online buying. Like, I'm going to get back at this. So then I put in, and I didn't realize the automatic system yet. So I put in 20 and it gave me 21. I put in 22, it gave me 23. And I was like, then I became angry and was fighting against this invisible character in my head.
Right.
I put in, I was like, what? Do you have to just put in the highest number and then that's it? So Fumi, I put in $100 from 20, which is quite the jump. And nobody else bid on it since. Not a single person.
And then you got it.
And then I got it for $100. And the painting came, and it is garbage.
It was shit.
It was shit. And I took a picture of it to send to somebody, and it looks better on film. Like, it looks better through my digital phone lens.
Yeah.
Like, it actually, the painting catfished me itself. And then I tried to find like the artist's signature. It's some bitch. Who knows? Like, it's not anybody special, nothing famous. I put up the painting for like maybe $40 on eBay. Not a single soul. I can't get rid of this painting. It's huge and it's right here.
Let me see.
It's still in the box. I got really upset. I couldn't look at it.
Oh, it's in the box.
I couldn't look at it anymore. Okay. I'll send it to you.
Wait, I'm sorry. So like the one up automated thing, A, is that legal? B, when was that going to stop?
I think it was going to stop until it hit that person. That person might have put $25. So I was going with this person. And so for me, instead of saying, okay, 26, I got really pissed off. And I was like, what does it take? Like $100? So I put in 100 because I was like, I'm going to get this incredible painting. And then that person was like, no, it's not worth $100. And
I feel like that's a real scam because
it's a real scam. But also,
because a lot of people don't know about the algorithm or like the system.
You wouldn't know.
I don't know how that's fucking legal. That sounds crazy to me.
It's incredibly frustrating. And then if you have somebody like me that is like, once I get started, like I really can't stop. Like there's some things where I'm like, okay, you know, if I have, I'll never do coke.
I didn't really know you. And
I don't
now
think you did.
I'm learning so much, and it is just not who I thought you were. And this
you
is
know,
amazing.
That's okay. I know you probably know me for my breast cancer prevention stuff, because like, yes, I don't want anyone to die of breast cancer, but also there's a lot of crazy shit in my life. So then I realized like I'm super like addictive personality, and I had explained to my husband, I may or may not be getting $100 painting.
Oh my God.
And I hope you're not mad at me. And so then, so this is the thing. We're going to really embarrassing right here. It wasn't just the $100 painting I bid on. On that evening, I think my husband was out. It's just like right where we could go out during COVID, like a couple months ago when it was still safe. And he and I have been with each other all the time. So he was out having fun for the first time with a friend. And I was so happy for him.
Yeah,
I had the house to myself. I was like, I'm going to go to bed early. Instead, I got sucked in. I won basically nothing except this piece of shit. And then I won two things. The other painting I got for $23, and I went online and it's valued at $2,500.
Oh, okay.
So that's huge.
So that's cool.
But now I have like stage fright, and I haven't even opened that painting yet because it's the actual good expensive one. And I just was like, I wanted to get rid of the shit one that I conned myself on. Get that out. Sell that to some other idiot. And, you know, not con them, but be like, it's not for me. If you like it, please.
Wait, no. Caitlin, you already made up for the
sold it yet. The nice one. I'm like, I have like a fear of it. I don't even want to take it out of the box. I'm like, this is so nice.
Sell that and then throw away your other one.
You're right. Or I'll like
You don't have to scam somebody else.
No, not the scam.
The scam stops with you. Okay? Right. Stop the scam. You gotta stop the scam.
You know what?
I realize
you're
Scam Wow,
right.
It's not a podcast about scams. It's just you guys are the scammers. You're scamming other people.
We are scamming other people. We do. No, we do. If you've heard on our very early episodes, we were like, hi, we have figured out a lot of scams. We love scams. We're fans of scams. We're scam fans.
Sure.
We can appreciate it. I guess I didn't want to scam somebody else. I just wanted them to like the painting. What I really wanted was somebody else to like the painting and say like, this is worth it, and not a fucking soul agrees. It's like a crap Bob Ross painting. It's really bad.
Yeah. Like that's like knowing that you have bad taste is worse than losing $100.
It really is. And it was like, I was just, dude, yeah. So I guess not scam them, but hoping that somebody else would go like, you know what, this is worth it. And to them, it is worth it. But it turns out it wasn't even worth it to that other seller. It wasn't worth it to Goodwill. And it was worth it to me. And I was the idiot in that. So there's the fancy painting I am afraid to touch. And I think I'm going to let it sit for another week because I can't even deal with what if it arrives and it's...
Well, you need to make sure you got the real item, right? Item. Because what if you open it just like, you know, a Playboy.
I can't even go there.
Like something like some random, like, you know, some Budweiser flag or something.
I can't even go there because more scams happened that week for me. And there's just so many insane things happening that it really took my self-esteem.
If you're just fans of scams, I would assume it means you've been scammed, you know, like you can relate to the audience that way.
Yeah.
Also, there's the other thing that happens when you get scammed. Like, that's like a, you know, that's on you.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But for example, like, if you had never, you know, like the kidnapping story or the one about the bag full of alcohol bottles. If you fall for scams like that, you deal with a lot of, like, just a mental sort of toll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get sort of, you feel very bad for, like, a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's... That was what's so interesting. Like, I think the biggest scam I've ever experienced after I went through that, I had felt this feeling that I've never felt. It's an emotion that you don't feel on an everyday basis because hopefully people aren't trying to like get you every day, you know?
Right,
but like, it sucks. It really sucks. And I feel like this is one of the only places where you can get some sort of, you know, find some sort of solace. So
yes.
I think you're doing a great job is all I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
I think you're doing a great job.
Well, we have said that like a lot of people, we've had guests that were scheduled and then they cancel last minute because they want to talk about a scam of their father or grandparent. And then they are really afraid of embarrassing that person or that their family member doesn't actually want to talk about it.
Oh, wow.
And so there's this deep sort of other, like you're talking about, like grandparents, there's this family connection feeling that you know your grandparent is incredible. Maybe they served in a war or multiple wars. You know, like maybe they're this incredible hero to you, but at that moment, they felt... they got taken advantage of or felt weak and then felt a weakness and then share that with you. And it's also this sort of family shame. So you feel so terrible. Mm. I had a friend that was going to come on and then he scheduled twice and then canceled because he said to me, I actually can't do this to my family. And I was like, we're not here to make fun of it. Like we're here to support you and to make fun of the con artist and to make fun of the situation, how insane life is. We would never want to hurt him. But I still think that he felt that it was a disservice to his family, which was.
That's crazy. You know, that makes a lot of sense. So this is not a scam that happened to me, but like my two friends, I went to Vegas with my two high school friends, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they got scammed, and but I didn't go. They got scammed at a strip club, and I didn't go because I had to wake up early and record the podcast. So comedy saved me. Comedy saved me, but I didn't go. But when they came back, like, you know, they told me to. I mean, I'm happy to tell the story, but like they just looked so. He used the word defeated.
Yes,
and they like one of the guys ended up like flying home a day early.
Wow.
Like he just didn't want to be. He took so much shame, and it was interesting because I was like. Oh, but it's not your fault. Like, these are, these are organizations and professional con artists at play.
And you know, companies. It's not your fault. Yeah,
and companies.
It's
not your fault.
It.
But
yeah.
but to your point, when you mentioned the thing about, oh, you feel weak, or as a man, you know,
yes.
you're supposed to be responsible or whatever it is, and in that moment you get completely fucked. And yeah, it's seeing it from an outsider's perspective, it was really eye-opening for me. I was like, wow, he looks sad is not the right word. It's just like embarrassed
yes.
and defeated. And it's
yes.
That's interesting you shared that thing about your guest canceling, because it completely ruined the trip.
I see that, because also that person, you're going to a place like Vegas that is a place of chance and excitement and sort of chaos.
Yeah.
And your idea is always like, I'll win this, or maybe I can get something over. And then when you are just so thoroughly got by either the casino, somebody else, or like the strip club, because I heard on your episode, whatever the situation is.
Oh, yes.
I was listening like, oh my God, I can't wait to talk about it. But whatever it is, you then did lose against Vegas, and you were the obvious loser of that situation, even if it was unjust.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to not feel awful and then not have that completely destroy your mood or your self-esteem or your self-worth or your challenge against chance. It's like, I'm not going to take any risks. I'm not going to go to the riskiest city and play a single slot machine because I got real screwed real early.
Yeah. That's I feel like, you know, for me, and I think a lot of my friends, you know, masculinity is not really an issue.
Mm-hmm,
we're not very toxic. You know, if somebody says that I'm running, my pants are too tight, or I look like BTS, I'm like, I don't care.
That's
awesome. You know?
Thank you.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of men don't feel that way. They're like, I want to be hard. But the thing is, with the scam thing, it's a whole different level. It like gets everybody of every gender, of every sexual orientation. Like
completely.
It gets everyone equally. And it's such a power thing. I'm happy to share my scam story. It's like, it's kind of scary. And I've only ever probably told it once on my podcast. I did like a storytelling show and I did it. So basically I was like, I think I just graduated from college and I was in Japan. I wanted to go to Japan and see my family before I started working again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, I'm super young, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I was still in college. I was like 21 or 22. I'm very young.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, you know, she gave me some money for graduating college.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me like $1,000.
Yeah.
And we don't come from money. So that was like a very big deal.
No matter what, it's a big deal.
She was like, go travel around Japan, like go enjoy yourself. And I was like, I went to Japan with my mom, but like we were kind of traveling separately because I wanted to like, you know,
yeah,
I was like, I don't want to hang out with
you,
mom.
No, you gotta.
Yeah. And I like took the bullet train. I was going all over the country and it was like really fun. And when I was like, I don't remember what, maybe it was in Osaka or something. Like I was like somewhere and I was walking around at night. There was like kind of like a red light district in Japan, but like prostitution is illegal, but there's like other things to do there. Like, I mean, there's like karaoke
like
at the red light district.
Yeah.
Gambling. There's all kinds of stuff. And there's also this thing called, in a lot of Asian cultures, there's this thing called the hostess bar. Have you heard of the hostess bar?
No.
Hostess bar is probably, it's like the mildest form of prostitution, which is they like, you basically pay girls to flirt with you. That's it. You cannot touch you. It looks like a bar.
Okay.
And then it's for like old men who like their wives hate them and
their
kids hate them.
Yeah, just have compliments.
And they just want to be told that they are funny or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what
don't
it's
we
for.
All?
And I always knew this was like a big part of like adult Japanese culture.
Okay.
Now, whether I agree with if it's good or if it's bad or whatever it is, that's a separate conversation.
No, it doesn't matter, but you knew that was being an adult in a way.
And I've always had this weird complex about like how, because I moved to the States when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I speak the language and everything, but I'm just like, man, I never like got to grow up in Japan. I never got to get drunk with my friends in Japan. I never like got to fall in love in Japan. And there's always this part of me that's just like, ooh, I wish I could like be more part of the Japanese.
Of course.
I don't know, narrative.
Of course.
Whatever it means, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, maybe I'll go to one of these things because I've heard so much about it and maybe it'll be funny, you know? And I'll like flirt with some Japanese girls.
You're young. Who cares? Do whatever you want.
And it's like, you're just flirting. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I had heard, so they actually exist in New York, which is probably illegal.
Oh.
So I knew about it in New York. And then I knew that they were a lot cheaper in Japan because there's more supply.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around and I don't even know where to go because I'm not from there. I'm not even from Osaka.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I'm going. but I know it's around here. I can feel it in the energy, right? So I'm walking around, and there's like a guy with a clipboard talking to random people in the street, and he works for like various organizations in that neighborhood,
like a comedy club guy in Times Square, like works for he's barking
for like the red light district stuff, right? So he's talking to me. And by the way, rule number one, if you ever want to do that kind of stuff in a different country, no matter what level it is, like, you don't ever talk to anybody on the street. That's a huge no-no. You never talk to anybody on the
street.
Anybody
with a clipboard is just like
you
a
just
wolf.
Don't talk
just
to them.
Run yes. away. My husband did do that for one summer in Times Square, and it killed his spirit, and he never did it again. He still, I think, has flashbacks to it.
Wow.
He did not like it. But he got kind of duped into doing it, thinking it was an okay job. And then it was the most upsetting, depressing thing. And he said he could never sell. He was like, I don't know. Go if you want to go.
I sold comedy tickets for a long time when I first started. I know the feeling.
I mean, he didn't bark for the prostitute district. He wasn't in the
Right. So just to make it clear.
Just
to
make it clear, it was for comedy in Times Square when he was 18.
Yes. Okay. And I was also trying to go to this like hostess thing, which is like, if you Google it, it's very common. So anyways, I'm talking to this guy, and he's like, oh, you know, what kind of girls are you into or whatever? Because I guess over there you can like choose like
the theme. Sure.
They have like one for like MILFs or something, you know,
and choose your own adventure.
You're showing pictures, and I'm like, I don't know, just like the this is fine. Like, give me the classic, whatever, the basic one, basic option, or whatever. So he's like, okay, cool. So he's like, I'm gonna take you to this place. So we approach this like shady ass building. We go up this elevator, and he takes me to this like clearly like an office building that's been turned into a some sort of like weird bar.
Yes.
And I'm like so young. I'm like 21. Oh, I'm so scared.
Of course.
But kind of excited in a way, because I was like, ooh, like maybe
and it's
like,
a new
this
experience
what...
and you're on your own.
Exactly. I'm like, this is adulthood, baby. So I'm like there.
I'm cashing in my adulthood check.
This guy is like, okay, so it'll be $200 for like the hour, and you get unlimited alcohol. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like a fair deal. So again, I have $1,000 in my pocket. So I give him $200, right? And then I go in. You know, it was a lot of foreign women.
Mm-hmm.
And there are foreign women in Japan, but like, I think same thing in America. Like there was, you know, it's like foreign as in like they didn't even really speak Japanese.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was a different feeling than you were expecting.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like atmosphere. This, like something else might be happening. You know what I mean? The problem wasn't that this lady wasn't Japanese. It was just like clearly like no one here is Japanese. Like, is there something weird, something illegal kind of happening?
Yeah.
So I get really, really scared. I'm like, now I'm thinking like, oh my God, like were these women like trafficked or like, you know what I mean? I'm just like,
well, good for you for thinking that. You don't just blindly go into it and are like, hey, titties, like you're actually, like this, your spidey sense did turn on immediately. That's very,
well, it was awesome. Like, because I had an image of what it would be like, and it was so far from that. And I got like really scared. And obviously when you do anything in like the vice industries, there's always
there's
like
something.
The mafia involved or whatever.
Yeah.
There's always like somebody bad involved, you know, like even strip clubs in New York City, a lot of them are run by like Russian mobs. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm scared. I'm there for like, I order a fucking Sprite. I'm sitting there.
Good for you.
I'm sitting there and I'm there for about 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I need to go. Like, I'm fucking, this is so weird. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't even know this part of town.
God, I'm sorry.
So I get up and I'm like, I'm going to go. And so I try to leave. They're like, oh, where are you going? And I'm like, oh, I'm leaving. And they're like, well, you haven't paid yet. And I was like, oh no, I paid you guys $200 at the door, remember?
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't know that guy. So the barker is in on it. And he technically I paid him outside the venue, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's like, we don't know that guy. And sure, I could, maybe if I was older, I would have like tried to, you know, run my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
But like,
you were intimidated
second,
too.
Like, I was like, wow, I'm being scammed.
Yeah.
And, but scammed not in the way of like, there's nothing I can do because this is not in public.
Right.
I'm in a foreign country, right? Like, it's just like everything is working against me.
Yeah.
Right? So then I'm like, wow. Okay. So how much is it? And they were like, $600. I was just sitting there for like 10 minutes.
No.
And I'm like, there's no way it's $600.
Yeah.
So I, because I grew up in America, I just have this like, or like, I've been living in New York. I have this like, fuck you attitude.
Yeah,
like,
great.
Make me mad. So I was like, no. And I was like, I started like walking away. And then I don't know why these like two huge like Jamaican bouncers. I don't even know where they came from.
To be honest.
My God. These huge Jamaican bouncers came out. Okay. They come out and I'm like, okay, they were three times my size.
Yeah.
Like, and like, there are a lot of like Jamaican people in Tokyo or like in Japan for some reason. I don't know what their story is,
but
they're there.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Like, I'm not gonna
beat
risk
these guys.
My physical well-being.
Yeah.
Right? So I just give them the money and I like rush out and I'm like shaking.
Oh my God.
So much. And then when I leave the building, I'm like running and there's another guy with a clipboard outside the building for like another place. And he's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I was like, I'm going home. And he saw that I came out of this one building. He's like, oh, you went there? Nah, man, that place is a scam. You got to come to my place.
No.
And I was like, no. And I was
no
like,
way.
I'm like crying. I'm like so scared.
I would.
So I went back to my hotel. And then I was just, and I couldn't shake off this feeling for like maybe a week. I was truly so scared of like, I think like having felt defeated, could have possibly gotten involved with some mob
situation. Something you deeply don't agree with. Yeah.
It was crazy.
God.
It was crazy.
Because also you're a kid who doesn't want to go to a place where people are nice and flirty. It seems like you're going to like a Baywatch party. Like it just seems like something like easy and light. And then you go in there and you're like, okay, this is something that I have been warned about, that I don't agree, and this is a level I'm not ready to go in. And then also there's physical intimidation. That's a whole different thing. There's one thing about just like adult intimidation of somebody being like, well, this is how the world is and you don't know, little kid, and you're kind of like nervous about that, trying to like stand up for that. But then you physically have two huge people come at you. That's so intimidating.
Yeah.
And no one in your corner at that time. You weren't even with a friend to be like, isn't this shitty?
Yeah. It was really, really scary. That's probably like the biggest scam I've experienced like financially.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad though, because in that it's not, you didn't lose thousands and thousands. I mean, I'm glad that's as far as you went financially. You didn't go any further.
But you know what? I also felt guilty because it was like my grandma's money. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And it was
course.
Just like this graduation gift. Oh. And I'm like, God, I'm so fucking stupid.
I gave so much of my grandma's money away to my first boyfriend. My first boyfriend. I bought clothes. I bought a grill. And I think he likes men. And it was just like,
Wait, was it a scam boyfriend or was this real?
That's
a thing.
No,
you know,
I know. Who, but I think he was not comfortable admitting that he was gay or liked male attention. And so I was just there and, you know, whatever. And I like gave him so much love and attention. It's so much of my family's money that was for my graduation. But I was like, look, it's going to come back to me. We're going to get married, babe. Like I was just so in love and so ready to be in love. And then he was like, I don't think I ever really loved you after I had spent all this money on him, like thousands of dollars. Just so immature.
Love is a scam. Love is a scam. Wow.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
But, you know, I will say, though, that, like, that experience, as terrifying as it is, and I don't want that on anyone. I don't wish that on anybody that I know and love and wouldn't want anyone to experience it. But I do know for myself that when I have one of those terrifying experiences, I learn tons from it.
Yes.
I am so much tougher from it. There is another thing. Now I'm remembering, Fumi, you're bringing me back to all my creepy things. I remember we graduated high school and my best friend and I went to Canada because we wanted to go to Europe. And my parents were like, no, because we took French. And they're like, you can go to Canada where they speak French. And we went to Toronto where they don't even speak French, but we didn't know because we were very dumb, dumb children. And we go to this nightclub in Canada and we start dancing with these guys. And I was such a late bloomer. I had my first kiss after I graduated from high school. Like, it was embarrassing how late I was. I felt embarrassed at the time. Who cares? But then afterwards, they were asking us all these questions. And Abby, my friend, went to go hook up with the guy. And I went back to the hotel room. And I called my parents. And I was like, I'm in love. I'm in love. I had my first kiss. Like, my family's like an oversharing family. And
wow.
So I was just talking to like my... It's really embarrassing. I like called my aunt, who was like my like spirit animal. Like, she was just like a very like... My aunt was very much living vicariously through me. And so I always wanted to be this like incredible femme fatale that she thought I could be and never was. So I called her and I was like, you're not going to believe it. I was in Canada and I kissed a boy. And I was just like, I'm living it up. It's so embarrassing.
Wow.
The whole night was over by 9:30. And then my dad gets on the phone and goes like, Kate, how much did you tell these guys? What did you say? And I was like, I don't know, Dad. I'm in love. I had my first kiss. I'm living it up. I'm a woman. I have lip gloss that's incredible. Like, I just like, I felt like on top of the world. And he's like, do they know your hotel room? Do they know your hotel? I was like, I don't know, Dad. I can't think of the things I didn't tell them, but I had one sex on the beach and was like wasted out of my mind because I also was a late drinker. So we hang up and I'm like, my dad's such a buzzkill. The hotel clerk calls me from downstairs and goes, Caitlin, don't worry, your dad gave us a call and let us know. And the gentleman did come in and ask for you and describe you and try to come to your hotel room. And we have a guard standing outside your hotel room and down here to make sure that they can't come in.
What? What do you mean try to come in? Like,
I left this part of the story out. They kept calling me and calling me and calling me and say they wanted to have an after party and like, how could I leave them now? It's so much fun. So I think he and his whole posse wanted to come to my hotel and do who knows what to like a young, very young high school graduate.
Oh my God.
And my dad,
Caitlin.
I know. I really got so many.
I'm so glad you're married. Oh my God. I'm so glad you're in a stable place.
Such a slut. Too, because
it's not even that. I don't even mean that.
I like talking. And so my dad knows me very well. And like, he really did completely save me that day because he called them and they were like, yes, they have continuously come into the hotel and we've turned them away multiple times. And now there's a security guard in front of your room. And then my friend Abby, her phone died and no one could get in contact with her. And then she came in the next day, was like, we hooked up in his host family's basement. I was like, what?
Whoa.
And she didn't even care. And I had gone through this entire night by myself in my hotel room, then calling my family on the phone long distance from Canada because they were like, are you safe?
Holy shit.
And put a chair against the door and all these things. And I was like, ay, ay, ay.
It's amazing that the hotel put a guard outside your door.
Really nice. And I think all you had to do was like describe like loud, young American, very happy to be here. What room number is she in?
I mean,
these creepy guys, they're like, she told us, you know, we're so sorry we dropped our number. Like, she told us to come up there. She's waiting for us. She has a thing. Like, I don't know what. I think this guy said I was also his soulmate and we'd only like made out for like 20 minutes. Because I told him I was an actor, singer, dancer, like Jennifer Lopez, he said. So I was like, exactly like that. I'm exactly like Jennifer Lopez. So yeah. And so something happened in his brain that he decided like he and I were going to get it together forever. And so there was like, it was creepy, but also like it was a sense of like long ago. Like unrequited love that I wasn't a part of, that he was a part of.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love how this like went from a scam podcast to just us sharing traumas. But you know what? A lot of times scams can be traumatic.
You know
a lot
what?
Of scams but it's can also be traumatic.
Like, it's so funny because I look at that and I go like, each time I was just, I wouldn't want anyone to not go experience a new country, try things on their own. Like I wouldn't, because I think of like my son and I'm like, fuck, he is going to have shit happen to him. And I don't want him to. And I want him to be, you know, safe always. But I also know, like, he's going to want to travel to wherever he goes, Maine. I mean, pick a place. And he's going to not want his mom by his side, you know? And I know he's going to probably get on the wrong bus, or he's going to get nervous, or someone's going to tell him that there's an important phone call and they're going to steal his phone behind it. Like, I know shit happens. But I'll say, like, I am so tough in this way where I don't trust any bullshit. Like, I think all those series of things happened. And then I guess it was I graduated college and it was a big fuck you to everybody. Like, I just was like, we're done. You know, it's over. So I really don't trust people. And I have quite the street smarts now. But I needed to get that. I needed to have that.
For sure. But I think that's the attitude you have to have in New York is like, I don't trust anybody in New York. I don't trust my friends.
No,
I don't trust my coworkers.
No.
You know, for you're right. I do think that was a valuable lesson. And like, I think a similar, you know, like us, like the way like my two friends were scammed in Vegas was like very similar to the story I just described. And I wasn't there, but I was thinking like, had I been there, could I have gotten them out of it? Because it was like kind of a similar deal.
And I've done that before. I'm sure I'm sure you have and not even notice it in other situations. Like I now am incredibly tough with my friend group and especially my sister, who's only 3 years younger, but I feel like she's 17 years younger. Like as far as like, I am very protective of her and like my family members and my parents even. I'm very tough now for other people, which and whatever, it's not your fault. And it's also like, I don't know, there's that feeling of strip clubs that maybe strip clubs, I don't know what the situation was there, but there's this idea that, oh, it could be really fun for me. And you never know, like the people in the strip club could be like, we're sick of it being really fun for you guys. You know, like, I don't know what the situation is like, or it was set up by mob. Like you just never know. So that perspective, I hope none of your friends were like injured or longstanding trauma from it, but it's also a perspective that hopefully will be valuable for them. Sadly.
Yeah.
Is that weird to say?
It is weird, but it's also true. And they're like just nice boys from Ohio and they would never really encounter something like this because strip clubs in Ohio are like super chill.
That's nice.
You know, it's very just like it's next to a Kroger's, you know, you know what I mean? Like you're not getting scammed, buddy.
That's
okay.
Nice.
There's no, and even if you get scammed, you get a great deal at the Kroger's next door.
I want to go there. I do know what you mean. But like, it's this feeling that like, as long as no one is, I don't want any scams against children, grandparents. I hate scams and we hate on this. We always talk about this podcast, like medical scams. If somebody scams that they're in medical need or pain and you donate to like a fake GoFundMe, all those are so horrible. But like, you just hope that if somebody you love goes through that, that it's, they're not deeply, deeply harmed, but they're also, it's a warning lesson for the future, you know?
Yeah. There was like, speaking of medical things, there was like a soccer coach or something at my high school who, this is kind of before like GoFundMe and shit. Like, I mean, the internet was around, but it wasn't as easy to set up one of those things like it is now.
Yeah.
And I guess he had like told people that he had testicular cancer or something. And like we got the whole community on board and we like raised like a shit ton of money and then he just fucking bounced.
Yeah, that's so
shitty. Isn't that crazy? It's so crazy.
Must have also been like, how do you like, it's kids and families that you're doing this to.
Yeah, and it's like, he wasn't a teacher. He was just like a coach or like an assistant coach. So I'm
That's
not really
so
sure like
too.
How much personal information you had to give. I mean, I don't know. Like you do have to show your ID to somebody when you get a job.
You could be a very nice person and then just decide, I'm stealing. Like, I think there are some people who just sort of go
that's
like,
true.
You know what? Fuck it all. I'm committing this crime. And you're out of nowhere without any record. You know, there's a big we found with our scammers, and we talk about this all the time. There's a big like, fuck you to the man or the person that the scammer feels that they should have known better. So it could also have been that situation that someone just gets so fed up. And that's when they create the scammer con.
For sure. Yeah, that's interesting thing to say. Like, you should have known better. I think that's, I mean, in a way, like, scamming is related to gambling, as in, like, when you keep losing, like, when you lose, like, a blackjack table or something like that, you think, oh, I almost won.
Yes.
You know, but you didn't win. Right. But the almost won feeling makes you want to play the next hand.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing with scams. You think, like, oh, I almost figured it out, but I didn't. And that's why you feel kind of bad about yourself, I think.
And I think also, like, that's why people are fascinated with other people's scams, because they're like, oh, that didn't happen to me, but this is what I would have done if it happened. I think it's how people are with, like, true crime and murder, which I can't, I'm too much of a wimp for that. But people, think of their situation and that. And I think people do that for scams too. They're like, what would I do if I was in that situation? And there's so many waves of emotion. And also there's anger. Like, there's so many feelings there. But what I try to say to any of my friends who've gotten scammed is that this is their business. They are waking up. They go to work. They're 9 to 5. It's not putting in fact numbers in their banking company. It's putting in keywords or a paragraph or sentences that scare people and trigger them. We can wrap up with this last one, but I got a Squarespace email that broke my heart because I got so ahead of it. It was for a speaking gig about cancer prevention, breast cancer prevention, because that's what I speak on. It was in England. They said it was last minute. They're so sorry. Their other speaker canceled. It was the name of the owner of the school. And then it said, we'll fly you out, we'll pay your fee, and we'll do everything. Like, can't wait to talk to you. And I looked at it, and a couple of the grammar things were off, and a couple of things were off. But before then, I was like, Alan, if I have to go to England, like, I'll have to quarantine, and you can be with the baby. And so I started planning, I have a very high speaking fee because, as you know, like, people don't really value comedians and their work. And so they'll go like, oh, can you do like 30 minutes? It ends up being an hour, and it ends up being so much more work than usual. So I upped my speaking fee after writing my book. I was like, okay, I deserve this. So I had calculated all this money in my head, how much it would take to travel, how I could see my family that's in England, like all of these things. And I responded right away and said, like, please let me know more about this. Then an hour later, I go back and I'm like, Alan, there's a ton of grammatical errors. If this is an owner of a college, why would she reach out to me? I don't think somebody from England would have this kind of grammatical error and say, God bless, like certain things. And he goes, oh, Katie, you're right. It's totally fake. And they went on my website. They cited my book. They found out that I speak overseas. This group researched me so hard. And then I looked at it and I thought it was a regular website, email address, but it was the college's name at gmail.com.
Oh.
And it was the last thing I checked and it was wrong. But so I blocked them. I blocked the thing from Squarespace. Like, I blocked all those things. But I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, it could be some money. We've been at home. Things have been stagnant. I had prepped all this in my mind and I was so happy.
Aww.
And they had read my whole website and like were citing things and said, like, you know, congratulations, we're so proud of you. Like, stuff that like a con artist, if you're saying I'm brave for talking about cancer prevention, then you underhandedly try to steal me. So I didn't follow it through, but I'm sure it would have been, can you buy your ticket or pay for this?
Right.
And then we will reimburse you.
Reimburse you. Okay, I was going to ask you how they're going to.
It's always
money.
A reimbursement. If anybody wants to reimburse you, it's a scam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so sad.
It was
work. I think as a comedian, if someone says, hey, you're hilarious, you're like, I'll do anything for you.
Yeah.
I'll take a bullet for you, bro.
Right.
You know?
They're like, you're hired. I'm like, for anything? Amazing.
casting.
I'm booked. Let me update my website.
Yeah, I got cast in something from a Squarespace website, which you know doesn't do that much usually. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? But also I was like, okay, this is how far they go. So I think that, you know, for people like yourself, like feeling bad, your friends feeling embarrassed and ashamed, this is their business day in and day out. They're not just like, it's not just your friend who's like pranking you. This is what they have studied and sort of done their grad work on to do expertly. And they're studying you as a person and your human behavior to make that money.
Yeah. I mean, this is so crazy. When you first asked me to do this podcast, I was like, oh, I have like two scamming stories. But then like, we're just trading scam stories back and forth.
And it's
like, wow, what a crazy, like New York is so crazy.
New York is so crazy. We're just trying to get hired to get out of it.
It's so crazy. How many times people get try to scam us?
Yeah, the only reason I would have known that the bottles was a scam was because I had the almost kidnapping scam. Like because I had had that was when I would have saw your bottles and been like, huh, that's, you know, and you had enough experience to be like, no, this is shady. Like you have to have those terrible things or you don't, or you just can like enjoy your life like your friends do and just not go on these Vegas trips and just trust your wife that it's not a good idea.
Yeah. It'd be really like, I'm just trying to imagine you like, you know, if the bottle guy approached you, and you're just like, I bought a piece of shit art for $100, so fuck off, dude.
I'd like, be like, do you want like, a painting?
Yeah. You're just like really getting the personal shit.
Or like, I also would be like, I go like, well, where's your mom right now? Like, I get very motherly, and I'm like, is your grandmother okay? Yeah. Like, I turn it on them. Like, are you feeling okay? Yeah. Like, very motherly. And then they're nice.
So I hope, you know, your listeners can listen to this and kind of navigate the world better.
Guys, let us do it for you.
Whew, it's a lot of the shit sounds so obvious when you tell the story, but when you're in it, again, you're in that like weird like, dream and you're like, you can't escape it.
Because there's so much coaxing and there's so much comforting. And I do believe that there is a sort of an answer to every question. Like even when you were there in Japan, they're like, oh no, it's this thing. Oh no, it's that thing. Oh no, like I'm sure that they were constantly reassuring you and they know you reassure the person to get them to walk into this situation, X, Y, and Z. And
oh, that answer to everything is like so fucking real, man. I bought an iPhone off Craigslist once and from this guy, we met at a Starbucks and I just knew it was like so shady and he had an iPhone and he was texting me. First of all, you know those like, I don't know if they exist anymore, but you know those like little key things that you put on the side of the iPhone to like take out the SD card?
I didn't even...
Okay, he had a bunch on his fucking
key
car keys. Yeah, I'm like, nobody's walking around, right? So I was like, what is that? And he's like, I've got a lot of kids. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, I guess like, my dad does that. No, he doesn't. But I was like,
you don't have kids, you're also like, is that the new thing? Is that the new kid thing?
Yeah. I'm like, he's a family man. I can't get mad at him. And then I noticed that when he was texting me, he has an iPhone, but his text is showing up as green.
Oh, yeah.
So that means they have like a burner app. There's like a burner phone app, and they're texting from a fake number. So I was like, oh, why is your text green? You have an iPhone. He's like, I turn off iMessage. And I was like, oh, okay. I like believe it. I believe all these things are happening.
And also they're incredibly confident. And also you're not the first person they did this to. So you should never feel, for anybody who has been scammed, you're not the first person. Like you're not the first person who was a young person curious about walking by yourself alone in Japan. Like it is a common thing of like they find the basic thing, like a young girl walking by herself in Penn Station. I wasn't the first one, you know? So it's like it sucks because you don't want to appear like a caricature of yourself or some trope. But in that moment, all the cards kind of filed in line and you were sort of that person at that moment. Yeah. And that's okay. You're just human.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's great.
Wow. Wow, I didn't. This has been
well. Now
very
we're
nice.
Best friends, Fumi. Okay.
Now we're best
you know
friends.
So much about me. I'm so happy.
what a ride this has been.
I really thought
we were going to be like sharing scam stories, being like, oh, we were so stupid, and now we got serious. We're like, it's not your fault.
It isn't though. But also, guys, if you had any fun during this, which I hope you did, please follow Fumi and his amazing podcast, Asian on Asian, because I really love it and it's good. It's really good. I love what you guys are talking about and it's really fucking important. I think.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I'm also on Instagram. Check me out at TheFumiAbe if you have an Instagram. Would love to hear from people who've gone through similar scam experiences as us.
Yes, guys. And you can DM us, of course, on ScamWell Podcast. You can email us on ScamWellPodcast@gmail.com. And you can send me anything. If you want to get to Fumi, we will send it to him as well. You can go
Amazing.
Through us. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I love this.
This is great. Thanks for having me.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much again. I really appreciate it. This was so fun.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.